This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
John, we focus on our Lions and what's going to happen this week with free agency. Yeah. But we also keep an eye on the rest of the NFL, and the Niners in particular have drawn some attention.
They certainly have, and it's interesting because we kind of go through this every year. For last year was Buffalo, right? They had to let a whole bunch of individuals go because of salary cap considerations. And right now, I'm just going to give you a list of individuals that are no longer going to be playing for the San Francisco 49ers. Some of them names you'll know, some of them you won't. Deebo Samuel, traded. Kyle Juszczyk, released. Dre Greenlaw. Charvarius Ward. We're talking about very impactful players. Backup quarterback Josh Dobbs, Elijah Mitchell. There's a safety that they released. Leonard Floyd, Javon Hargrave, Aaron Banks, Jalen Moore, Malik Collins. And I don't think the list is done growing. They have only added one player in free agency. So now they're tasked with, how do we fit everybody under the salary cap? How do we go about creating a team that could still be competitive? And I think when we talk about windows opening and closing, for now, their window is closed. They have a quarterback in Brock Purdy who's in the last year of his contract. They have to make a decision. Do we pay him as a starting quarterback who's, you know, taken us to all sorts of heights, hasn't been able to finish anything, but he's taken them there. And the 2025 cap space that they've been able to create in releasing and trading is $32 million.
Barely enough to fill out the roster.
Dead cap hit this year. They have the highest dead cap hit as it stands right now at $68 million. So the lesson is...
Yeah, tell us. What is the lesson?
You do have a certain window. And they're a team that has tried to shift in that window, add, subtract. The big addition that they've been able to add, Christian McCaffrey, they still have him. Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, but they've talked about possibly trading him as well. And now, and obviously they still have Bosa. Are they going to be competitive this year?
No, look, they weren't last year. I don't think they're going to be this year. And then it's
Trent Williams. Last year with these guys on the roster, but they were...
My point is it's going the wrong way. And right. Trent Williams is likely gone sooner rather than later here. It's going south. And this is how it's supposed to go. you can't stay on top forever. The sport's designed to tear you down. Players get older. They get beat up. They get injured. Contracts get bigger. They get bloated. You can't keep them all. You don't pick in the top five. You pick at the end of the round. Like, it's designed to weigh you down. And they've done a really good job propping it up. They went to four NFC championship games in a five-year span, two of which they played in a Super Bowl. They nailed, whether you think Brock Purdy's great or not, that seventh-round pick. That's the ultimate win, is getting a quarterback that can play at least at that level out of the seventh. They did so many things well. They had all pros at all the critical positions, running the ball and defense and this scheme from Shanahan, and they won zero Super Bowls. The lesson is success is fleeting in the NFL. The lesson is you can think you're going to drag this out for 8-10 years. You're not. You're not. I know Brad Holmes is the greatest drafter since time started ticking. This is the reality check, right? That the Lions have a window here, and it may be a couple years longer because of Brad, but there is an end date to it.
Right. And so we, you know, have been discussing Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, like the all-in move. And when you look at what Philly did with the all-in move last year, it was Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You look at the all-in move that San Francisco made during this run, it was Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. And so it's, while there is that all-in move, you're talking about a running back position that, and I don't know the exact details of McCaffrey's contract, but it, right around $20 million.
It's not a $40 million edge.
Right. and it's Saquon Barkley. While very impactful and historic season for Saquon Barkley, it was a $20 million investment. Not even that last year.
Not even on a per season basis, yeah.
Right. And so you look at the way Brad has drafted, and you listen to what he talks about. And when you hear Aiden Hutchins say, yeah, probably not, when it was in regards to Myles Garrett, you ask Brad Holmes at the combine about adding another impactful edge. And, you know, is it, can you add a Max or a Myles or a Trey? And he says, probably not. This is why. Now, can you have an all-in move? What is that all-in move for the Detroit Lions?
Well,
and some of it has been just simply signing their own guys. And I don't want to go down the road well, it's just draft, develop, resign. But he has done a tremendous job at that. And we went through the list yesterday of all the top five, top 10 guys at their position. There's 11 of them.
So
half the starting roster.
Yeah, it's a lot of really good football players. The Lions rosters, I mean, 1, 2, or 3 for the upcoming season. I understand that. How you interpret San Francisco, I think, is fascinating, because we were huddled up pre-show and I said, you know, I look at it as strike while the iron's hot. But I bet you there are some in the Lions fan base look at that and say they got too big too fast. It's okay for Brad to kind of take his time strategically, draft and develop. And
well, I don't
know. People who say they want to avoid the dramatic drop-off that San Francisco's had. And Detroit may try to be, quote, more responsible to extend their window. I bet you there are Lions fans that look at it that way.
Okay, so yes, that they want to be responsible to extend their window. Mm-hmm. More bites at the apple.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that they look at it and go, they got too big too fast. That's the only part I disagree with you. Because I'm
phrase
more
it differently.
On the,
my point is, like, they popped and then they came down hard. And I think for the Lions fans out there, they want this to drag on.
Right, they want more bites at the apple, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not saying I don't want an impactful move, but I also think that if you're able to extend that window, because winning a championship, you're going to need a little bit of measure of luck. You can't just have the most talented roster in the NFL. Last year, the Lions had, you know, arguably a top three roster. I mean, I'm sure it's arguable. I think they had a top three roster.
Yeah.
This year going into it, even if they, you know, it's a one-for-one swap, if that's how you're going to, you know, the Reed for Davis swap, if that's how you're taking that one, and I'm not just saying by health that they will be a Super Bowl contender, but they will be one of the top three rosters again. Now, there's other things that play into it. You got a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. You're going to have some different aspects of it, but I do think that they are measured. Mm-hmm. In how they're adding guys to this team. Brad Holmes has drafted tremendous. They've been able to develop players, and that's also going to change. Yeah. You're going to have a whole lot of new position coaches. So if they can continue to draft, develop, and they're still going to have to pick and choose who they want to keep and who they let go, because you can't continue to pay all these top five, top 10 at their position as such.
Ticket Tech's phone calls, the lesson that you're taking away from San Francisco, the dismantling of that once dominant roster. John, you chronicled all the big names. Last year was we saw the drop-off in the win-loss record, and the window's shut. They could reboot it down the line a couple years from now, but they're not among the contenders anymore. The Lions are. What lesson do you take away? Trying to win more while you're on top? Or some Lions fans may say, draft, develop, stretch this out, more bites at the apple. Don't let it collapse as quickly as it did in San Francisco. We want to know how you interpret it. 248-539-9797.
I think there's also when the Lions made it to the NFC Championship game against San Francisco 2 years ago, no one saw that coming. Like, they thought that, make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game, but it was going to be a slow build, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. There was some luck involved. They were as healthy as they had been all year at the end of the year when they needed it most. They had guys come in like Owusika for Jonah Jackson at the time that played at a very high level in the NFC Championship game. And ultimately, it was the players that didn't get it done on the field. It was a dropped pass. It was a fumble. And so, yeah, you're going to have to seize the moment, but you can extend that moment by being somewhat responsible. But there also has to be this is going to get us over the top.
I do wonder sometimes. I have this viewpoint. We don't blame the athletes enough when they're put in the moment. You blew 2 fourth-quarter leads in the Super Bowl. I know you were playing against the next GOAT.
You're talking San Francisco here.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's my lesson learned from this. It's on the players. They didn't finish. Kyle Shanahan didn't have his best moments.
I was going to say,
at least
he did
in one of those
don't
games.
Let him off the hook.
You gave up a 3rd-and-15 to Tyreek Hill that flipped the first time you blew the lead.
And the second one was in overtime.
You turned it over.
Yeah.
You know, the players got to get it done. I looked at the Lions' loss last year against the Commanders. If the offense would have got it done, I think they outscore them, they win that game. Then they lose to Philly. Mm-hmm. Okay? They were too beat up to take on the true big dogs in the league.
And if the players execute in the NFC title game against San Francisco, execute, meaning you don't fumble, you don't drop the ball. Yeah.
I always took this away from the Tigers when Dombrowski was a GM and they failed. He got them there. It's their job to finish. You know, like I blame John Lynch little other than probably the Trey Lance move probably cost them. Like, I think, you know, at the time they had the 12th pick. You know who was selected 12th in that draft? There was a lot of maneuvering.
Who was it?
Micah Parsons. There was a lot of maneuvering. You know, people, Philadelphia ended up moving back up to 10. They took Devontae Smith. Well, the Eagles, the great Howie Roseman moved up to take Devontae Smith and pass on Micah Parsons. So, you know, but think about if they would have added Parsons and just stayed put and everything else went the same.
But think about the conversations,
Sweet Mother Lord,
that they were having in San Francisco, that they were having as an organization, and compare that to the ones that we've had here. Jimmy G was their quarterback.
Yeah.
Did they believe that Jimmy G could ultimately get them over the hump, or was he a bridge? So they decided that he is a bridge, and we want to take a shot at somebody in the draft. So they trade up. They take Trey Lance. They absolutely miss.
They bombed. It's one of the worst picks ever in the draft, in my mind. He can't even be a backup in this league.
My point is, I think there are Lions fans who will look at that and say, don't be bold this offseason. Keep the roster as is and keep chipping away at this. So our run isn't only 4 or 5 years. It could be 6 or 7. I'm not in that camp, and that's okay. There's room for discussion here. My thought is, inevitably, it's going to come crashing down. You may as well load up and give yourself the best chance to finish one of the chances that they will have this upcoming season and the year after.
The 49ers' mistake was they tried to force a QB. And coming off COVID when the guy didn't play, like, what were you thinking? You don't want the Lions to do something like that. I think you can force a move at other positions because there's more likely the guy's going to pan out. The volatility at QB is very dangerous to make a move like that for. They got lucky that they got Purdy. I mean, come on, you know.
It kind of balanced out in that way.
And they still haven't paid him, by the way.
No.
I would say this, you know, like the Falcons made a bold move back in the day and ended up getting to a Super Bowl because they traded up to get Julio Jones. People were critical. They went from 27 to 6th and gave up a ton of capital to go do it. But receiver was more of a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Make the move that's a guarantee. That's why it's Hendrickson.
Well, we've discussed him. We do want to see something at the edge spot. Let's get to Rich in Detroit. Rich, you're on 97.1.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's
up? Good morning.
Not much, man. I just wanted to say that I think Brad Holmes is like the perfect project manager. Like, he knows how to keep his job by not going out and making a big splashes and taking a risk on ownership's money, but at the same time drafting and getting players to keep butts in the seat, to keep people happy, to win games, but to keep his job at the same time. And I don't think anybody, as much as everybody criticized him, nobody has a valid point to get him out of here. And that will be the goal for me, to keep my job.
I don't think it's just, yeah, he wants to keep his job.
But I think he also wants to win a Super Bowl. I'm not naive enough to think he's just trying to coast by.
Yeah, well, let's just be good enough so that we win and I keep my job. No,
like,
I think,
Rich, I think you mean this as a compliment, right?
I do. I think it's a smart idea. I think it's good. I don't think that he doesn't want to win or not care about winning a Super Bowl, but he's not going to go out and do the big splashes and stuff like that that everybody is wanting him to do.
But I also think we've seen a shift this year. So, I know it's a one-for-one swap. Carlton Davis gone, but DJ Reed.
I don't think we've seen a shift yet. I'm not ruling it out. But
when was the last time Brad Holmes went out and signed a free agent and gave somebody the money that he gave DJ Reed?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that there is one.
That's the definition of a shift.
But it is it's a one-for-one swap.
Right, you lose one. But he went out and actually said, we're going to pay a free agent a lot of money and bring him in here. That to me is a shift.
Who is the biggest free agent they've added prior to this offseason? Greg, is there a name we're just missing?
Reader? That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be on this tier. So yeah, this is the biggest move he's made.
Right. And so it's okay, there's different ways you add to the roster. Okay, without just completely, you know, patronizing everyone.
Yeah.
It's the draft, it's trades, it's free agency. All right. So he traded for Carlton Davis, gave up some draft capital. He's traded on draft day. He's drafted. He's done everything but go out and pay a guy in free agency. Never really thought that he would do that.
And I don't think he wanted to. I just think he found a situation where Carlton Davis was going to leave and he had to do his best. And he did a great job replacing him.
Right. But he did go out and pay a free agent. Now the question is that going to be the only free agent base? Because you still have to be able to field the rest of the roster, and you've got to address the offensive line.
Yes.
I mean, what are they going to do with Kevin Zeitler?
I hope he's back.
I hope he is as well.
He's probably a second or third wave of free agency guy. Yeah.
Is there other guys in the second or third wave of free agency, whether it's offensive line, defensive line, secondary, maybe a third receiver?
You're right. There's a lot of moving pieces here. Ticket Texture points out, what big splash is there even to make at this point? Holmes tried his best to get Miles out of Cleveland, Max out of Vegas. Free agency and trades aren't claw machines, Cookies. What's the move that you or the contract that you would want to give out? I think Khalil Mack was the obvious one. He didn't hit true free agency, so I guess we can give Brad a bit of a pass there. But you could back channel it and go, we're willing to pay more for a one-year deal. It doesn't compromise any of the long-term extensions. It gets them a durable, productive, veteran chase a title piece, and he was available on a one-year deal.
He was available to the Chargers on a one-year deal. To leave Chargers, he might have needed a 2 or a 3, or it might have been more money. Like, you get to a certain point in your career, and I don't know his family situation. Yeah. I don't know his living situation or anything, you know, of the auxiliary data.
I'll give you another one then.
But he may have just simply wanted to stay in L.A.
One of his teammates, not as durable, but has shown flashes, Joey Bosa, did leave L.A. for a one-year deal. He signed in Buffalo, a team that came into Detroit and kicked our ass, and they had a pass rusher. Can we question that?
The replacement for Von Miller.
Yeah.
Who's
our replacement for Za'Darius Smith? And I know it can't be Marcus Davenport.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Yeah, so Bosa could have been
Za'Darius Smith.
Oh, okay, I'd be okay with it. So you're saying it's okay
to let it play out? Is that what I heard you just say?
Tried to catch myself.
I'm okay with that.
It kind of feels like the bare minimum to retain Za'Darius. That would just be keeping what they did last year, right? I'd be okay with that. I want more.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
If the Lions traded for Trey Hendrickson today and re-signed him to a 2 to 3 year extension, $60 to $90 million.
Okay.
Are they a Super Bowl favorite?
Yes.
If they don't, are they the Super Bowl favorite?
The favorite? No. I think they're in a tier of teams that can win it.
Now is the time.
Okay, but you're also, you have to take into account, okay, you're throwing out numbers. What do those numbers mean? 2 years, $60 million. You think he's only going to make $30 million a year?
Okay, maybe it's a little bit more. Let's not get in the weeds on that. He's going to make 50?
No, but I think if there's a big difference between 30 and 38.
Can you afford it?
I don't know that they necessarily can.
Because you got to have these other guys on your team? Like, I just don't get why you don't go for it. Like, and then you retool on the fly if it doesn't work. Figure that out later. You can't create a guarantee here. I agree with you on that.
Right, yeah. There's no guarantee. Even if you do it, there's no guarantee you win a Super Bowl.
A very straight up question. Are they the favorite if they make the trade? I got yeses. I got nos if they don't.
Not the favorite, but they could still win it.
Because my belief is if they did that they would be the favorite, and as long as you didn't get ravaged like last year, that ultimately this would come down to the players deciding if they win the Super Bowl. Okay. Brad Holmes' job is to put them in the best position without recklessly jeopardizing their future.
And I think that there are some who would say Hendrickson is reckless. That there's the debate.
I know, Tom.
The couple ticket texts on opposite sides, and this just continues to push the conversation. One texter says they won 15 games with half our players on IR, will be fine without any of this stuff. And the other one says the lesson to be learned from the Niners is the window is short. If there's a move that you can make to go over the top, do it, because that window will close before you realize it. That's from Christopher in Fenton. It's 97.1.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's go to Mike and a cell. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Great show, great topic, as always. Love you guys very much.
Thank you.
I would just say it's ridiculous. Whoever made that point before about the, I don't know if it was a text or whatever, about giving up on Terry Arnold is ridiculous. That's absolutely stupid. That being said, and I know you guys are tired of beating a dead horse, it is perfectly not only reasonable, but logical to have some very glaring questions about the defensive line entering the season. But my big problem is the deification of your GM, because it's the act as though, and this is where we look at it and we say, okay, I give him credit. He's done a wonderful job in the drafts for the most part. But there's also this tendency to overlook what is, quite frankly, the most important draft that he had, where he made, I am sorry if you guys disagree with me, but he made a massive mistake. And part of knowing and having the rule and being a good GM is having rules, but knowing when to break them, okay? He moved out of taking the sixth pick, moved back and took Jahmyr Gibbs with 12, okay? And he ended up getting Sam Laporta. And all these players pan out, but due in no small part to situation. But you have Jack Campbell today and Sam Laporta, when in fact you probably could have, by all accounts, you could have gotten Jahmyr Gibbs at 18. And had Jalen Carter on this line, we'd have no questions. So that's where I disagree with the deification of a guy who we say he's done a great job, and he has. But Sam Laporta and Jack Campbell are not Jalen Carter. And he didn't know enough to not break that rule when that guy should have gone first overall. I get that you should have had, like, there's a car accident, all that kind of stuff. And today we're paying the price. We pay the price for not taking the chance on the talent that we know we should have gotten.
Do you know? Let's start with this. You do know they took Jahmyr Gibbs where they did because they didn't believe he was going to be available at 18.
And every single analyst on the planet, and I'm not saying they know 100%, says, wow, I can't believe you went there that early because I thought they would have been there at 18.
And every single analyst now says, what a great pick.
No, it's a great pick, but every single analyst would also make that deal in a heartbeat.
Let me make sure. So the criticism is based upon the wrong analysis then and not the right analysis that we've seen him be worth it now.
No, it's the criticism is saying sometimes it's good to have rules. We want character guys. We want guys that fit in this system, blah, blah, blah. I get all of that. But ultimately, to win championships and not be like the Bills or not be like a great team that never climbs the top of the mountain, guess what? You're probably going to need some controversial guys in the locker room that are a pain in the tail because their talent puts you over the top. And Jalen Carter was that guy, and that was a no-brainer.
Well,
we passed on it.
I don't know. I like what they got out of that more than I like Jalen Carter. I was a Jalen Carter guy. I think Jalen Carter will be an outstanding defensive lineman. But let's not blow out of proportion what he is. Jalen Carter had 4.5 sacks last year. He had 6 the year before. Okay? He hasn't had a ton of tackles. He's a force when he's in there. But what's more productive? What you're getting out from Jalen Carter or what you're getting out of Jahmyr Gibbs with over 3,000 yards in offense in 2 seasons? What you're getting out of Sam Laporta with his 17 touchdowns in his 2 seasons? I'll take that. And if this guy's talking about his hard and fast, so I assume his hard and fast rules is you can't take a running back in the first round because you can when they're this productive.
I can't believe this is true, but I just looked this up. Levi Anzarike last year had 45 pressures. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many Jalen Carter had?
I don't know. 110.
53.
Mm.
I'd rather have Jalen Carter than Levi Anzarike. I like Jalen Carter, but he literally is mad because people questioned back then taking Gibbs at 12. I said, but today they say it's a great pick. And he goes, it was a great pick. But back then, and I'm like, so you'd rather be right on draft day than right a couple years after the draft?
Well, his first statement was he doesn't want to deify the general manager. Well, when you have vision to see that someone's going to be as good as they are before anybody else does? Isn't that kind of the definition of being a deity?
Here's what, He's not perfect. Brad Holmes is, and nor will he be.
No, you want to talk about his imperfections? It's easy. Levi Onwuzurike in the second round. Not a great pick.
And that 2023 draft is elite.
If you want to say Josh Pascal in the second round the following year, not a great pick. Okay, I'm not going to fight you on that stuff, but it's really hard to put down a general manager when he's gotten so much right.
This is the draft that produced four top-tier players with three picks at the top of the draft. They end up spinning that into four top-tier players in the first 45 picks. Justin in Livonia. Hi, Justin.
Hey, I'm going to piggyback off the last caller. I don't understand why people are obsessed with Brad Holmes' picks. I mean, Gator already started to rattle off a list, and I can add to it, but like, he has just as many bad draft picks as he has good draft picks. I don't know why we sit there and like...
What do you mean? Is that as many bad draft picks? Okay, beyond the
I
couple
mean, Broderick that... Martin, Giovanni Manu, like I.
He's
what,
not
what
perfect,
are we doing
Justin.
I mean,
no,
now,
I mean no, the GM
but,
that
but
is.
Now, but now you're getting later into. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Justin. Because when you bring up these guys, now you're getting later into the draft. Has he missed in the first round?
Yeah, Levi Onwuzurike.
Levi Onwuzurike wasn't a first round pick.
And he picked Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta. Like, you're not going to re-sign them, and if you do, you're dumb because you don't re-sign tight ends and linebackers. I mean, honestly, what? Like, what?
Why wouldn't you?
Because they're not worth it. You can find replacements that are just as good. Same thing with Jahmyr Gibbs.
You know who's capable of finding those replacements if they decide to do that is Brad Holmes.
No, like, why do you defend him so much? I don't understand.
I don't know, because the players you're talking about are really good
Justin,
players.
He's built a 15-2 football team.
No, 15-2. Yeah, and let's watch Jared Goff. I'm not even going to get into that, but
please don't.
You guys like act. You no, I won't. But you guys act like he's like made every single draft pick. Like, oh
no, we
you
know,
no,
we don't.
How many times have we said
we
he's not perfect?
We literally haven't even said that once.
And you're holding him to a perfect standard. You want every pick to be great. When you start saying, I can't
no,
believe he took Manu.
I don't want picks. I F them picks. I'm saying get rid of the picks. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you guys
well,
talk about
that's
it.
That's a different story. Like, that's actually a different
start,
topic.
Yeah,
you guys
maybe start
talk,
with that.
You guys talk about
stop
him.
Burying the lead.
You guys
then.
Talk about him like every single draft pick is
no,
no, we don't.
Stop,
good God,
you know what? Stop I, saying that.
If you're
you
not even going to listen,
like, when we say things all the time, like and he's missed on guys, and we constantly bring up Levi Onwuzurike as a for instance, right? You want to go into third round and talk about Broderick Martin? Yeah, go ahead and do it, right? But it's hard to ignore the success of the draft in 2023 with Gibbs, Campbell, Laporta, and Branch. Hard to ignore that, right?
Yeah, the entire
it's hard
core.
To ignore when you draft Kirby Joseph in the third round or Amon-Ra St. Brown, you draft him in the fourth round, or Aleem McNeil in the third round. Like, these are all Pro Bowl players that you've drafted. And,
what
and,
is
and
happening?
The team gets to 15-2. And then you want to find reasons why the 15-2 team is a bad team.
And why
they
the
went
GM...
15-2 while playing with, at best, a second-string defense for more than half the season. And yet they still went 15-2. And you know why? To the two callers prior to that? Because Jahmyr Gibbs was a stud. Because Sam Laporta is a really good player. Because Jack Campbell is able to hold down because he's the one guy who's healthy on the defense and he's making plays. Kirby Joseph is making plays. But the defense was decimated and yet they still went 15-2. You want to now if the last caller says that you know he wants to F them picks, that's a whole different discussion. And I wish he didn't bury the lead because that's worth talking about.
That's actually a completely different topic. But if this whole thing is based upon, if your criticism is you don't like Broderick Martin, Giovanni Manu, Levi Onwuzurike, and that you don't think he's good at drafting because of those three players, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to, and if you don't think linebackers and tight ends are worth re-signing.
And by the way, they got a starting guard last year in the sixth round because Christian Mahogany is going to start this year.
97 won the ticket.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Please tell me you didn't play this because this man is a giant. Please.
It's because I'm begging him to come back to Pittsburgh
okay,
now.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure. Now, we can get to business 3 o'clock. If you're looking for Michigan State, Odyssey.com Rewind. We handled it. Dusty May, I don't know. I don't know what's in the water in Ann Arbor. But Lions have made what probably will be their splash signing. It's DJ Reed, corner from the Jets. The pricing is not egregious. It looks like a little bit of a, hey, I want to play for a winner versus be J.C. Horn. And is he the best of a bad free agent class? Yeah. I mean, is he better than Carlton Davis? I can't say that. If you want a fun factoid, he led the league in pass interference penalties with 7. Tied with his new starting corner opposite him, Terrion Arnold. So, look, I'm fine with it. I'm indifferent. But I'm not going to sit here and pop champagne bottles. How could I? I told you the last 2 weeks, I don't like DJ Reed. He draws a ton of penalties. He's kind of a zone corner. I do wonder if there will be more zone in your future. New DC, I don't know. I'm fine with it. I'm not angry. I'm not elated. I treat it a lot like Carlton Davis. If you have a perfect player, they very rarely hit free agency. This free agent class league-wide is being panned as awful, regardless of position. It's an awful free agent class. So you didn't overpay. I don't know that he's going to be fantastic. He might be good. Fine. You know where I stand. If I'm going to spend big money, I'm doing it up front. Now, if there's a way, Rico, that by getting DJ Reed, I still have a pathway to a Trey Hendrickson, a pathway to adding up front, then I'll be more excited about it. My worry is, for some reason, they brought back Marcus Davenport. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they decided, and again, I agree with John Jansen on this point. It's not about the player, Derek Barnes. It's about the price. I'm not spending $8.5 million on a part-time linebacker. I'm just not doing it. But they love their own players, something Dan Campbell swore they had to be careful of.
And I guess Za'Darius wasn't considered their own player.
But he also was expendable. In the same way that if they had anyone on the roster who was young and cheap and decent, DJ Reader would be expendable. Wasn't the same guy last year. But he's not expendable because they don't have any defensive tackle depth anybody cares about.
So what's Za'Darius going to do with his championship ring?
Take it to the pawn shop. I don't know.
Oh, wow. You know, I'd like to think that they're going to make a big splash. I don't.
This is the splash.
I think they are going to tell you, you need to just get a chef's hat for Brad, give him the draft. It's deep in defensive linemen, rush ins, and just let him go away and pick away and bring in players. Because right now, maybe they're tipping their hands saying they're going to play more zone.
I don't know. I don't know.
Instead of man, because right, I mean, when you hit me with the stat pre-show, I was like, wait.
That's just for fun. And I mean, listen, I'm not telling you, right. Hey, maybe two of the calls he got screwed. Seven PIs is seven PIs. The top two corners in the league are now your starting corners, 14 pass interferences. It is what it is. Will Terry and get better? Sure. I don't know. Look, DJ Reed got attacked a lot. And I'm not saying he's a bad corner. He's not. He's good. I don't think he's great. It's the same thing I said about Carlton Davis last year. You guys killed me. And I hated his injury history. How'd it work out? I'm fine with Reed. But do I think you're better year over year? No. I think it's a push. I think Carlton Davis and DJ Reed are very similar players. So good on you to not get worse. I'm good with that. And you do have Rakestraw and Amik and Terry and Arnold. Okay, so we've got four corners for three spots. Maybe the Vildor experience continues. But what are you going to do for a pass rush? And I still think you need a defensive tackle on a run-stuffing basis. I still think you need more depth up there. Because, look, Aleem McNeil's a disruptor, and he's fantastic. He's coming off another catastrophic lower body injury. I don't know. I'm okay. But I feel like in this town, you know, unless you walk around with your flagpole up in the air, people look at you like you're a hater. And it's like, no, I don't hate it.
No, I think in this town, I think people have just come to the fact of they're going to just let Brad go into the draft because that's his strength. You take care of your own, check.
Okay.
You're going to go into the draft, and you're going to find some more people who are going to be all pro as rookies, and you're going to do all of this stuff.
Here's the
and
facts.
Everything will be fine,
Here's
and
the
you
facts.
Don't need to bring in an outsider.
For a last year grade, you had one of the five worst drafts in football. You had a bottom five draft in football for what that draft did for you last year. Arnold wasn't good. Rakestraw didn't play. You had a mystery guy who doesn't know how to play American football. You had a special teamer turned safety turned running back who didn't play. Does this sound familiar?
No. It does.
So look, my point is you don't get to pretend you had the Eagles draft last year.
No, but what you do is you sit there and say, but look, he went and got J-Mo, he went and got Gibb, and he got Branch, he got Kirby.
That's great.
And he'll find all of these people. And you forget, last year was not the follow-up draft that you wanted to see. Last year was...
No, and it's okay in a rebuilding sense.
Right.
But when it's your window, when it's now, I do need immediacy.
Yes, because
that's where I caution people.
I look at Vaikai and Manu as two guys that you could have drafted in the third and fourth round to put on in your D-line that at the end of the season, they would have had to go in there and play, but maybe you would have had a diamond in the rough. Maybe you would have found your fourth round Amon-Ra for the defensive line. But you chose to go experimental. And that's why I had a problem with that.
And listen, I told you for weeks, and I'll say it today, I'm not going to say a negative word. They didn't do anything wrong with the Myles Garrett thing. You don't get to say they didn't try. You don't get to say they failed. Myles Garrett got bribed, period. Ted DiBiase style. He got bribed. 35? No. 36? No. 7? 8? 9? 4? Wait, you're offering me how much? F it, I'll lose the rest of my career. I'm not mad. But in order for me to feel like you're going all in, there has to be a defensive end signing. I'm leery of a guy like Josh Sweat leaving Philly because he plays in Philly. Trey Hendrickson, there's a cost, there are concerns. I'm just saying, I the Marcus Davenport thing, I don't understand this team's affinity for guys who cannot stay healthy. I don't understand it.
He feels like he can fix them, Mike. He feels like, you know what? When you come here, we'll take care of you. And
no, would you make it Derek Barnes? Good player, but did I need to commit 8.5?
And because that's what, did you just bid against yourself? Like, who else was going to come in here and swoop him up and pay him this ridiculous amount of money? I didn't think he was that hot on the open market. Like, oh, well, you got to re-sign him because... You know, five other teams wanted him. You bid against yourself. You overpaid for him. And you, yes, good player, but I'm with you. I'm with John. You probably could have got him at a better price. But, hey, he's yours now.
The other problem I have is when you look at what the Jets decided to do, they paid Sauce and they paid their slot. You know who they didn't pay? DJ Reed. It's not a shot, but it's the same story I told you last year when the Bucs decided we want to invest in Jamal Dean. We don't want to invest in Carlton Davis. Why? Availability. So I'm not being negative. I'm being factual. I'm being real with you. It's fine. And before you call in and go, but Bob's football says he's the best corner on the market. That can be true. So can the fact be this is one of the worst free agent classes in the history of the National Football League. Go read anyone who you trust in football. This is a horrific free agent class. So I'm fine with it. I don't think they overpaid, but I don't have to do cartwheels to Belle Isle. I need pass rushers. I need a D-tack. I need a space eater up front. I got to see what they're able to do here. And Josh Sweat is now off the board. He's going to the Cardinals on a four-year deal worth $76.4 million. So, look, maybe they just are going to go with the Almondine Muhammad experience.
Good Dean.
And it's going to be Aiden and company. I don't know. But that's, I don't love it. I want someone opposite Aiden I can trust. I can bank on, I can rely upon. I can't do that with Marcus Davenport. Come on. And when two of my starting four guys are coming off of injuries where their legs exploded, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't expect them to hit the ground running. I do think there's a ramp up. And that doesn't mean they won't be good. But this, there is something about the plan here. And I'd love your guys' thoughts. It's your football team, 248-539-9797. Why is it that they don't want to spend more heavily up front? Why? You want to give it to us next? Do you want to be curious?
No, I'm going to give it to you now because I do have an answer. So, yeah.
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, you know, you are the professor.
I don't think that people will... Well, I think some Lions fans will understand what I'm going to say. The Brad bots, you won't like it.
All right, I'm here for it. I'm here till 6.
John, we focus on our Lions and what's going to happen this week with free agency. Yeah. But we also keep an eye on the rest of the NFL, and the Niners in particular have drawn some attention.
They certainly have, and it's interesting because we kind of go through this every year. Last year was Buffalo. Right, they had to let a whole bunch of individuals go because of salary cap considerations. And right now, I'm just going to give you a list of individuals that are no longer going to be playing for the San Francisco 49ers. Some of them, names you'll know. Some of them you won't. Deebo Samuel, traded. Kyle Juszczyk, released. Dre Greenlaw, Charvarius Ward. We're talking about very impactful players. Backup quarterback Josh Dobbs, Elijah Mitchell. There's a safety that they released. Leonard Floyd. Mm-hmm. Javon Hargrave, Aaron Banks, Jalen Moore, Malik Collins, and I don't think the list is done growing. They have only added one player in free agency. So now they're tasked with, how do we fit everybody under the salary cap? How do we go about creating a team that could still be competitive? And I think when we talk about windows opening and closing, for now their window is closed. They have a quarterback in Brock Purdy who's in the last year of his contract. They have to make a decision. Do we pay him as a starting quarterback who's, you know, taken us to all sorts of heights, hasn't been able to finish anything, but he's taken them there. And the 2025 cap space that they've been able to create in releasing and trading is $32 million.
Barely enough to fill out the roster.
Dead cap hit this year. They have the highest dead cap hit as it stands right now at $68 million. So the lesson is...
Tell us. What is the lesson?
You do have a certain window. And they're a team that has tried to shift in that window, add, subtract. The big addition that they've been able to add is Christian McCaffrey. They still have him. Trent Williams. Brandon Ayuk. But they've talked about possibly trading him as well. And now, and obviously they still have Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be competitive this year?
No, look, they weren't last year. I don't think they're going to be this year. And then it's
Trent Williams. Last year with these guys on the roster, but they were.
My point is it's going the wrong way. And Trent Williams is likely gone sooner rather than later here. It's going south. And this is how it's supposed to go. You can't stay on top forever. The sport's designed to tear you down. Players get older. They get beat up. They get injured. Contracts get bigger. They get bloated. You can't keep them all. You don't pick in the top five. You pick at the end of the round. Like, it's designed to weigh you down. And they've done a really good job propping it up. They went to four NFC championship games in a five-year span, two of which they played in a Super Bowl. They nailed, whether you think Brock Purdy's great or not, that seventh-round pick. That's the ultimate win, is getting a quarterback that can play at least at that level out of the seventh. They did so many things well. They had all pros at all the critical positions, running the ball and defense and this scheme from Shanahan, and they won zero Super Bowls. The lesson is success is fleeting in the NFL. The lesson is you can think you're going to drag this out for 8-10 years. You're not. You're not. I know Brad Holmes is the greatest drafter since time started ticking. This is the reality check, right? That the Lions have a window here, and it may be a couple years longer because of Brad, but there is an end date to it.
Right. And so we, you know, have been discussing Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, like the all-in move. And when you look at what Philly did with the all-in move last year, it was Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You look at the all-in move that San Francisco made during this run, it was Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. And so it's, while there is that all-in move, you're talking about a running back position that, and I don't know the exact details of McCaffrey's contract, but right around $20 million.
It's not a $40 million edge.
Right. and it's Saquon Barkley. While very impactful and historic season for Saquon Barkley, it was a $20 million investment. Not even that last year.
Not even on a per season basis, yeah.
Right. And so you look at the way Brad has drafted, and you listen to what he talks about, and when you hear Aiden Hutchins say, yeah, probably not, when it was in regards to Myles Garrett. You ask Brad Holmes at the Combine about adding another impactful edge. And, you know, is it, can you add a Max or a Myles or a Trey? And he says, probably not. This is why. Now, can you have an all-in move? What is that all-in move for the Detroit Lions? And some of it has been just simply signing their own guys. And I don't want to go down the road it's just draft, develop, resign. But he has done a tremendous job at that. And we went through the list yesterday of all the top five, top 10 guys at their position. There's 11 of them.
So
half the starting roster.
Yeah, it's a lot of really good football players. The Lions rosters, I mean, 1, 2, or 3 for the upcoming season. I understand that. How you interpret San Francisco, I think, is fascinating, because we were huddled up pre-show and I said, you know, I look at it as strike while the iron's hot. But I bet you there are some in the Lions fan base look at that and say they got too big too fast. It's okay for Brad to kind of take his time strategically, draft and develop. And
I don't know.
People who say they want to avoid the dramatic drop-off that San Francisco's had. And Detroit may try to be, quote, more responsible to extend their window. I bet you there are Lions fans that look at it that way.
Okay, so yes, that they want to be responsible to extend their window. Mm-hmm. More bites at the apple.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that they look at it and go, they got too big too fast. That's the only part I disagree with you. Because I'm
phrase
more
it differently.
On the,
my point is, like, they popped and then they came down hard. And I think for the Lions fans out there, they want this to drag on.
Right, they want more bites at the apple, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not saying I don't want an impactful move, but I also think that if you're able to extend that window, because winning a championship, you're going to need a little bit of measure of luck. You can't just have the most talented roster in the NFL. Last year, the Lions had, you know, arguably a top three roster. I mean, I'm sure it's arguable. I think they had a top three roster. Yeah. This year going into it, even if they, you know, it's a one-for-one swap, if that's how you're going to, you know, the Reed for Davis swap, if that's how you're taking that one, and I'm not just saying by health that they will be a Super Bowl contender, but they will be one of the top three rosters again. Now, there's other things that play into it. You got a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. You're going to have some different aspects of it, but I do think that they are measured. Mm-hmm. In how they're adding guys to this team. Brad Holmes has drafted tremendous. They've been able to develop players. And that's also going to change. Yep. You're going to have a whole lot of new position coaches. So if they could continue to draft, develop, and they're still going to have to pick and choose who they want to keep and who they let go, because you can't continue to pay all these top five, top 10 at their position as such.
Ticket text, phone calls, the lesson that you're taking away from San Francisco, the dismantling of that once dominant roster. John, you chronicled all the big names. Last year was we saw the drop-off in the win-loss record, and the window's shut. They could reboot it down the line a couple years from now, but they're not among the contenders anymore. The Lions are. What lesson do you take away? Trying to win more while you're on top? Or some Lions fans may say, draft, develop, stretch this out, more bites at the apple, don't let it collapse as quickly as it did in San Francisco. We want to know how you interpret it. 248-539-9797.
Well, I think there's also when the Lions made it to the NFC Championship game against San Francisco 2 years ago, no one saw that coming. Like, they thought that, make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game, but it was going to be a slow build, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. There was some luck involved. They were as healthy as they had been all year at the end of the year when they needed it most. They had guys come in like Owusika for Jonah Jackson at the time that played at a very high level in the NFC Championship game. And ultimately, it was the players that didn't get it done on the field. It was a dropped pass. It was a fumble. And so, yeah, you're going to have to seize the moment. But you can extend that moment by being somewhat responsible, but there also has to be this is going to get us over the top.
I do wonder sometimes. I have this viewpoint. We don't blame the athletes enough when they're put in the moment. You blew 2 fourth-quarter leads in the Super Bowl. I know you were playing against the next GOAT.
You're talking San Francisco here.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's my lesson learned from this. It's on the players. They didn't finish. Kyle Shanahan didn't have his best moments.
I was going to say,
at least in one of those
games. Don't let him off the hook.
You gave up a 3rd and 15 to Tyreek Hill that flipped the first time you blew the lead.
And the second one was in overtime.
You turned it over.
Yeah.
You know, the players got to get it done. I looked at the Lions' loss last year against the Commanders. If the offense would have got it done, I think they outscore them. They win that game. Then they lose to Philly. Mm-hmm. Okay? They were too beat up to take on the true big dogs in the league.
And if the players execute in the NFC title game against San Francisco, execute, meaning you don't fumble, you don't drop the ball. Yeah.
I always took this away from the Tigers when Dombrowski was a GM and they failed. He got them there. It's their job to finish. You know, like I blame John Lynch little other than probably the Trey Lance move probably cost them. Like, I think, you know, at the time they had the 12th pick. You know who was selected 12th in that draft? There was a lot of maneuvering.
Who was it?
Micah Parsons. There was a lot of maneuvering. You know, people. Philadelphia ended up moving back up to 10. They took Devontae Smith. Well, the Eagles, the great Howie Roseman, moved up to take Devontae Smith and pass on Micah Parsons. So, you know, but think about if they would have added Parsons and just stayed put and everything else went the same.
But think about the conversations,
sweet mother Lord,
that they were having in San Francisco, that they were having as an organization, and compare that to the ones that we've had here. Jimmy G was their quarterback.
Yeah.
Did they believe that Jimmy G could ultimately get them over the hump, or was he a bridge? So they decided that he is a bridge, and we want to take a shot at somebody in the draft. So they trade up. They take Trey Lance. They absolutely miss.
They bombed. It's one of the worst picks ever in the draft, in my mind. He can't even be a backup in this league.
My point is, I think there are Lions fans who will look at that and say, don't be bold this offseason. Keep the roster as is and keep chipping away at this. So our run isn't only 4 or 5 years. It could be 6 or 7, whatever that.
Look,
that,
you can
but
be bold.
But I'm not in that camp, and that's okay. There's room for discussion here. My thought is, inevitably, it's going to come crashing down. You may as well load up and give yourself the best chance to finish one of the chances that they will have this upcoming season and the year after.
The 49ers' mistake was they tried to force a QB. And coming off COVID when the guy didn't play, like, what were you thinking? You don't want the Lions to do something like that. I think you can force a move at other positions because there's more likely the guy's going to pan out. The volatility at QB is very dangerous to make a move like that for. They got lucky that they got Purdy. I mean, come on, you know.
It kind of balanced out in that way.
And they still haven't paid him, by the way.
No.
I would say this, you know, like the Falcons made a bold move back in the day and ended up getting to a Super Bowl because they traded up to get Julio Jones. People were critical. They went from 27 to 6 and gave up a ton of capital to go do it. But receiver was more of a guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make... Make the move that's a guarantee. That's why it's Hendrickson.
Well, we've discussed him. We do want to see something at the edge spot. Let's get to Rich in Detroit. Rich, you're on 97.1.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
Good morning.
Not much, man. I just wanted to say that I think Brad Holmes is like the perfect project manager. Like, he knows how to keep his job by not going out and making a big splashes and taking a risk on ownership's money, but at the same time drafting and getting players to keep butts in the seat, to keep people happy, to win games, but to keep his job at the same time. And I don't think anybody, as much as everybody criticized him, nobody has a valid point to get him out of here. And that will be the goal for me, to keep my job.
Well, I
don't think it's just, okay, yeah, he wants to keep his job.
But I think he also wants to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not naive enough to think he's just trying to coast by.
Yeah, well, let's just be good enough so that we win and I keep my job. No,
like,
I think,
Rich, I think you mean this as a compliment, right?
I do think that, yeah, I think it's a smart idea. I think it's good. I don't think that he doesn't want to win or not care about winning a Super Bowl, but he's not going to go out and do the big splashes and stuff like that that everybody is wanting him to do.
But I also think we've seen a shift this year. So, I know it's a one-for-one swap. Carlton Davis gone, but DJ Reed.
I don't think we've seen a shift yet. I'm not ruling it out. But
when was the last time Brad Holmes went out and signed a free agent and gave somebody the money that he gave DJ Reed?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that there is one.
That's the definition of a shift.
But it is it's a one-for-one swap.
Right, you lose one. But he went out and actually said, we're going to pay a free agent a lot of money and bring him in here. That to me is a shift.
Who is the biggest free agent they've added prior to this offseason? Greg, is there a name we're just missing?
Reader? That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be on this tier. So yeah, this is the biggest move he's made.
Right. And so it's okay, there's different ways you add to the roster. Okay. Without just completely, you know, patronizing everyone.
Yeah.
It's the draft, it's trades, it's free agency. All right. So he traded for Carlton Davis, gave up some draft capital. He's traded on draft day. He's drafted. He's done everything but go out and pay a guy in free agency. Never really thought that he would do that.
And I don't think he wanted to. I just think he found a situation where Carlton Davis was going to leave and he had to do his best. And he did a great job replacing him.
Right. But he did go out and pay a free agent. Now the question is that going to be the only free agent base? Because right. you still have to be able to field the rest of the roster, and you've got to address the offensive line.
Yes.
I mean, what are they going to do with Kevin Zeitler?
I hope he's back.
I hope he is as well.
He's probably a second or third wave of free agency.
Sure.
Guy. Yeah.
Is there other guys in the second or third wave of free agency, whether it's offensive line, defensive line, secondary, maybe a third receiver?
You're right. There's a lot of moving pieces here. Ticket Texture points out, what big splash is there even to make at this point? Holmes tried his best to get Miles out of Cleveland, Max out of Vegas. Free agency and trades aren't claw machines, Cookies. What's the move that you or the contract that you would want to give out? I think Khalil Mack was the obvious one. He didn't hit true free agency, so I guess we can give Brad a bit of a pass there. But you could back channel it and go, we're willing to pay more for a one-year deal. It doesn't compromise any of the long-term extensions. It gets them a durable, productive, veteran chase a title piece, and he was available on a one-year deal.
He was available to the Chargers on a one-year deal. To leave Chargers, he might have needed a 2 or a 3, or it might have been more money. Like, you get to a certain point in your career, and I don't know his family situation. Yeah. I don't know his living situation or anything, you know, of the auxiliary data.
I'll give you another one then.
But he may have just simply wanted to stay in L.A.
One of his teammates, not as durable, but has shown flashes, Joey Bosa, did leave L.A. for a one-year deal. He signed in Buffalo, a team that came into Detroit and kicked our ass, and they had a pass rusher. Can we question that?
The replacement for Von Miller.
Yeah.
Who's our
replacement for Za'Darius Smith? And I know it can't be Marcus Davenport.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Yeah, so Bosa could have been
Za'Darius Smith.
Oh, okay, I'd be okay with...
So you're saying it's okay to let it play out? Is that what I heard you just say?
Tried to catch myself.
I'm okay with that.
It kind of feels like the bare minimum to retain Za'Darius. That would just be keeping what they did last year, right? I'd be okay with that. I want more.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
If the Lions traded for Trey Hendrickson today and re-signed him to a 2 to 3 year extension, $60 to $90 million.
Okay.
Are they a Super Bowl favorite?
Yes.
If they don't, are they the Super Bowl favorite?
The favorite? No. I think that, well, I think they're in a tier of teams that can win it.
Now is the time.
Okay, but you're also, you have to take into account, okay, you're throwing out numbers. What do those numbers mean? 2 years, $60 million. You think he's only going to make $30 million a year?
Okay, maybe it's a little bit more. Let's not get in the weeds on that. He's going to make 50?
No, but I think if there's a big difference between 30 and 38.
Can you afford it?
I don't know that they necessarily can.
Because you got to have these other guys on your team? Like, I just don't get why you don't go for it. Like, and then you retool on the fly if it doesn't work. Figure that out later. You can't create a guarantee here. I agree with you on that.
Right, yeah. There's no guarantee. Even if you do it, there's no guarantee you win a Super Bowl.
A very straight up question. Are they the favorite if they make the trade? I got yeses. I got nos if they don't.
Not the favorite, but they could still win it.
Because my belief is if they did that they would be the favorite, and as long as you didn't get ravaged like last year, that ultimately this would come down to the players deciding if they win the Super Bowl. Okay. Brad Holmes' job is to put them in the best position without recklessly jeopardizing their future.
And I think that there are some who would say Hendrickson is reckless. That there's the debate. I know, Tom. The couple ticket texts on opposite sides, and this just continues to push the conversation. One texter says they won 15 games with half our players on IR. We'll be fine without any of this stuff. And the other one says the lesson to be learned from the Niners is the window is short. If there's a move that you can make to go over the top, do it, because that window will close before you realize it. That's from Christopher in Fenton. It's 97.1.
I just made a call down to Allen Park regarding Hutch's leg, which is obviously going to be a bigger story than you and I anticipated it, but there's a reason why we do open lines. We take your feedback.
It's a big story because the listeners have concerns.
As I was saying, there's a reason why we do open lines and take your feedback, because we want you to program the radio station from a what is most interesting to you standpoint. And every time the topic of defensive line or Hutch comes up, we get texts and we get phone calls worried about his long-term health, which I suppose there's nothing wrong with that. I thought when we heard the news that it was a clean break, that was nothing but good news. Clean break almost always means good news. Dr. David Chow said good news. They spoke, and that we had somebody saying not addressing the edge rusher spot was borderline negligent, okay? Because it doesn't look like there's going to be a big move made for an edge rusher opposite of Hutch. We can still talk about the feasibility of that, but it's hard to do under the cap. You'd love to do it, but it's hard to do under the cap. So this guy calls the Lions borderline negligent because there's concern about Hutch's long-term health. And I made the point that they have access to his medical records. They're aware every single day that they need to be of where Hutch is in his recovery. And I would agree with that texter that if they were getting bad feedback or there were any setbacks, but I decided to be sure, called the Birchie kid who is at Allen Park right now. And I said, how often do you guys get updates on Hutch? And he said, well, the last time was at the combine. Combine was a week and a half ago. And at that time, there were no concerns whatsoever about the long-term health of Aiden Hutchinson.
But what about now?
If there are now, we don't know about them, but they do, right? And if they know that Hutch has had a setback, or Hutch needs another surgery, or Hutch, you know, is behind schedule in his recovery, if there's some weird calcium growth coming off the bone and it's healing the wrong way, they know. And the fact that they haven't, they're still, if they extend him, that's great news, because it means the medical people are telling him it's going well. So I don't know if we'll ever alleviate those fears, Gator, but it comes up more often than we had expected. But again, we do open lines for a reason, and it's clearly a concern of the people.
Well, I hope the Lions continue to update us on a reg so that we can relay the information.
Yes.
And let the people.
And certainly we all hope it's good news.
Yeah, of course I hope it's good news. Because it would really suck if Hutchinson had a setback Or if they just realize, this is, we went back in and did a scope and things don't look good. I mean, yeah, stuff like whatever they do, not, I don't know why scope a broken leg, but you know what I'm saying? You do some imaging and you find out that it's not
the MRI
good.
Says.
Yeah. But until then, I'm under the assumption that the clean break is a good break. And boy, he's really put the time into rehab and he was trying to get back in case it was possibility that the Lions were going to make the Super Bowl and maybe he could get there. And, you know, looked like he's made tremendous strides since then. Not perfect. I mean, he's not like running the perfect 40, but now we're a few weeks away from seeing him actually run. I imagine he looks better now than he did 3 weeks ago.
So the net-net of what's happened so far, they've re-signed Levi Onwuzurike. They've re-signed Marcus Davenport. They've re-signed Derek Barnes. They brought in DJ Reed to replace Carlton Davis III. They brought back Craig Reynolds. They've signed a linebacker special teams guy and Grant Stroud to replace Jalen Reeves-Maben. Gone is Kevin Zeitler on a one-year $9 million deal. They'll replace him with a second-year six-round pick in Christian Mahogany, who graded out reasonably well. Kendall Vildor, a CB4 or 5 guy, signs with Tampa. Darius Slay, who people wanted to go after, signs with Pittsburgh. Are you feeling like they are doing enough? Fatu Melifamu is gone, but are you feeling like they are doing enough? They went 15-2 last year. They probably the only position that we feel like they've absolutely, I shouldn't say absolutely, though they might have made an upgrade is the corner spot. Everything else is a lot of the same. They still have work to do with the wide receiver 3, and they got another draft class coming in. Is this enough for you? From Jeff, the book is still out on Brad Holmes. Still has not been to a Super Bowl. Making the team better and consistent is okay for now, but this year's schedule will tell a lot moving forward. Okay, a year ago we did think that the 2024 schedule was going to be tough. And I agree that this one looks way tougher. There is some difference when you finish in first, when you win the division. And depending on what other divisions you align up against in a given year, it can make it tougher. But I know the dangers of playing this is an easy or this is a tough schedule game. They very, more often than not, they aren't what they seem. The Lions, when healthy, still don't have enough quality depth on the defensive and offensive line. Decker, Glasgow, and Ragnow won't play a full season, and you have Hutch and Aleem coming back from injury along with an aging DJ Reader. Well, they're rolling the dice a little bit because you have to roll the dice somewhere. You can't afford everything you want under the cap. They still have money to spend on adding depth. They did bring in Lopez as a depth guy on the defensive line. They are rolling the dice that Davenport and Onwuzurike will stay healthy. And while those aren't, you might not like those gambles. If you pay for more quality and proven players, then you might be rolling the dice with Ennis Rakestraw as your other starting corner. So they're dice. You got to take some chances somewhere to cost control.
Rakestraw is such an interesting player for me.
Yep.
Drafted high, didn't get a chance to really play last year. And I bet is chomping at the bit to get an opportunity to play. And was a highly regarded defensive back in going into last year's draft. So I think there's a reason for optimism there. Yeah.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Here's some more feedback. I'm sick of hearing let Brad cook and all the excuses. This wasn't a good offseason so far. You can talk about health in the draft all you want, but teams like Philly, Washington, and even Chicago got much better. But it's okay. We signed all our injury-prone players and numerous coaches left. We'll be fine.
Philly got better?
Didn't Philly lose 5 starters off their defense? They lost Josh Sweat. They lost Darius Slay. They lost Milton Williams, who's kind of a rotational guy, but he was an important player for them.
They've lost offensive players, too.
CJ Gardner-Johnson had 6 interceptions for him last season. He's gone.
Mekhi Becton?
Oren Burks left. He started for them. I think he started for them in the Super Bowl. The Commanders... Yes, the Commanders did some interesting things. The Commanders also signed what is being called the worst contract of the offseason. They gave Trey Hendrickson money to Javon Kinlaw. 3 years, $45 million. He had 4.5 sacks last year. He signed last year with the Jets for $7.5 million. It was considered a bad contract then. It wasn't worth it. They let him walk, and the Commanders signed him to more.
They have money to spend.
Apparently money to burn.
Yeah, I guess that's different than money to burn, right?
Now, they did get Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, but you would think if you're running the Commanders that and you hear that there's an edge rusher available at your disposal here, maybe you might be clearing out some space to make that move.
Should they have saved the Kinlaw money and made a run at Trey Hendrickson?
100%, but they still may have a bunch of money that is impressive.
Look, I mean, everybody, Chicago's added a lot of pieces. We'll see how it helps them.
Well, I like what Chicago's done. I think they've definitely gotten better. I don't know how much better, because really that's dependent on the growth of the quarterback, but it looks like they're giving the quarterback a chance to breathe by adding the interior offensive line.
The two biggest things with the Lions that should make them much better next year. One is a healthy Aiden Hutchinson, and I think two is a second-year Terrion Arnold. If you look at the way his season went, if that arrow continues to point up, and I don't have any reason to believe it won't, I think those are dramatic improvements next year.
As we sit here on 3-1-3 day, on March 13th, my concern with the Lions is the interior of the defensive line. I like DJ Reader, but it's another year on DJ Reader, who has had injured past. I didn't say hanging. It's another year. And Aleem McNeil, we don't know when he's going to come back, right? Because he tore his knee up, and it was halfway through the season. It could be a while before I wouldn't anticipate he's ready to start the season. And if he does, I don't think he'd be 100%. So I'm concerned there. And what's it going to be like when he comes back? And with not seeing Broderick Martin play and being very, I don't know if it's lukewarm on Anzarike, I'm just not really confident about that. But I could be the day after the first round of the draft.
Exactly.
Because that's an area that might just be screaming at this point as we're getting through free agency that they must, you must draft the defensive lineman at 28. Or move up to get the guy that you really covet. If you really love Derek Harmon and you think he's going to go at 22, then move up to 22 and go get him. Or whomever it is.
The Lions brought back guys who were inconsistent and unreliable from the least productive position group on the team, and their best player is coming off potentially career-changing injury. How can anyone think they won't be worse?
I stopped myself from dropping my head completely down below the microphone. I'm getting better at it. When it comes to this comment,
the good news is the Lions do have access to Aiden Hutchinson's recovery. They get updates every day. If there is reason to be concerned, you'll see this play itself out in two ways. One, they will be aggressive in the trade market to add an edge rusher. Two, they won't extend Aiden Hutchinson. We made a call last hour for a reason to find out if there was any reason to be concerned. At the combine, the last time the Lions talked about this, there was zero reason to be concerned about the long-term health prognosis of Aiden Hutchinson. If there were, I would suspect you would have seen them perhaps go edge rusher over corner as their big free agent signing. Because it would make sense to then roll the dice with their young players as opposed to roll the dice with the guys opposite of Hutch. Because I think they're playing if Hutch gets back to just being what Hutch was last year, a defensive line has a chance to be very good as the year goes on.
Yeah, it does. It's really it's heartbreaking when you think back to last season. It's a 15-2 football team that played without their defense for half the season.
On top of that, I get that they lost in the playoffs, but if they're as good as they were last year and have fewer injuries, yeah, they'll be better than they were last year.
And the other thing I feel like I need to bring up every time when we talk about the playoff loss, remember who they lost the second play on the defense.
Yeah.
The second play that the defense was on the field, you lose your starting outside corner. I mean, with a broken arm. It was just injury after injury after injury, and yet they people are like, well, the defense got shredded. Yeah, I wonder why that is. When you've lost Carlton Davis, and then you lose a Amik Robertson, And now you're going with your literal fifth string or fourth string defensive back who's got to play outside corner. It's tough, let alone that you're, you know, the defensive line was so decimated. I can't help but go back to that and think, man, if they only had to deal with one catastrophic injury last year,
right,
to the defense, they'd probably still be playing for a Super Bowl.
This is from Yahoo on the Kinlaw signing. Insane. Teams that do this because they have a lot of cap room often wind up a mess in a year or two because the cap room is gone and they wonder why they have some of those contracts on the books. On paper, this is the worst signing of the early free agency period, and Kinlaw will have to play the best ball of his career to prove it's the right contract. Now, they did add Laremy Tunsil. They get Deebo Samuel, and those are big moves.
Yeah, and this is a team that went to the NFC Championship.
Yep.
But you can't help but think that some agent really took advantage of him. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy contract, and that's one that they probably should have just said, yeah, we'll wait on that. But if you love Kinlaw, you love Kinlaw.
Hey, you know who recovered really well from a broken leg they sustained in college? Aiden Hutchinson. That's from Derek in Washington Township. And yes, his sophomore year, it's a sophomore year or freshman year, he broke his leg, came back, and was dominant.
Great. So now you're letting people know he's got an injured history of breaking the leg.
I think it was the other leg. But Jim writes in, I'm not mad at Brad for re-signing Levi, but the guy seems to be just a body out there. Why is it the guys who come into the league talking about how great they are going to be don't quite turn out that way? Same thing for Terrion Arnold. Are we done with Terrion Arnold, Jim? He's done with Terrion Arnold.
Rookie season was pretty good season for him. He improved almost weekly. Okay.
You can't have an all-pro player at every position. You try. But the best thing that this GM has shown is he identifies and gets our team great talent in the draft, which is an awesome, sustainable model. None of his drafts, I think they've all helped the team get better. And they are going to draft again this year. But you're giving up already on Terrion Arnold? Wow. I guess we asked the question if they're doing enough, and there's a whole bunch of no's coming in.
All right, 3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. If you want Red Wings discussion, we opened with it. It was your version of the Latte Larry Spite Store. Odyssey.com Rewind. But we want to turn our attention to the Lions a little bit. If you have a Red Wings opinion, we're happy to take your call. But let me just throw this out there. I heard Jim Costa make a comment this morning, and they didn't really get into the topic of it. So I'd like to, because I think it's actually a really interesting comment, which is there a divide or a disconnect within the Lions fan base where there is a portion of the fan base? And I'm not going to define the line. I'm not going to do percentages. I just know there's enough of each where it's a complete pain in our ass. So there's a part of this fan base that, you know, on this show, we call them bots, whether they're Steve bots, Brad bots, Scott bots. The organization does no wrong. Everything Brad Holmes does is perfection. Every player you sign is a Hall of Famer. Every player you let go is a shameless bum. There is a portion of the fan base. That's how you behave. That you believe you never need to make a splash. You never need to sign a big free agent. You just stay the course. The process, the process, the process. We're going to draft, develop, and sign, and it's all going to be okay, and we're going to win a Super Bowl. Then there's the other side of the fan base, or at least a big portion, that say, look, we love the work that Brad has done. And we love that the Lions are good again. But being good for a prolonged time without ever being great is a road to immense frustration. And no one, not even the bots, will end up happy. Example, the Baltimore Ravens. They've been good for a while. It has won them nothing. So here's what I'm asking. I want to know. Now, as the Lions sit here, this is not a referendum on Holmes. This is not to suggest that they have failed or succeeded. It is where they are today as you've replaced Carlton Davis with DJ Reed. Do I believe DJ Reed is this exponential improvement? No, I do not. I think he's a good player. I think Carlton Davis is a good player. I don't think one is great and one is now homeless. I like the contract. You've retained Derek Barnes. Player's good, much like John Jansen. I don't like the contract. You brought back Marcus Davenport. You're paying him in chunky soup because he's never healthy. And Melifonwu, who many in the fan base yelled at Rico and I about, that he was essentially a combination of Dick Knight, Train Lane, and Ronnie Lott, has gotten a prove-it deal from the Miami Dolphins. That's the offseason thus far. So with it, here's my question. I am going to offer you something. And by the way you answer it, I think you're telling me what group you're in. Choice A, Rico. The process. And you just stay the course, draft, develop, and sign your own. You're not going all in, and you're going to be good for the next 4 years. Can't guarantee anything, but you'll be good. Or choice B, all in, F them picks, restructure, spend, A-plus effort only. You have your best shot at the Super Bowl the next 2 years, and then the future is wholly uncertain. Which of those describes you as a fan? Which camp are you in? Because I think that is distinctly a line in the sand as it pertains to Lion fan.
Right. I would say this. I think if Lions fans really were honest with themselves, they're in camp one or A.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be good and relevant. Why? Because for years you were a joke. You were the punchline of the league. Every year the draft was the Super Bowl. You'd just rather be good and consistently good year in and year out. You love hearing people talk about how good your team are. You love seeing your team on national televised games. You love seeing your team in the graphics. You love all the positive things because you've never had that before. It's like the poor kid who all of a sudden, I got money now and I can buy a car and I don't have to share a room with five people. It's like, that's where they are right now. And if they're really honest with themselves, yeah, a Super Bowl is nice, but the fact that you are no longer a have not, but you're a have,
mm-hmm.
you'll stay a have for as long as you possibly can. And if that means you don't win a Super Bowl, but you've been good, I think deep down they're okay with that. And then I was like, no, I want to win the Super Bowl.
Do you?
But I don't think you really want to win the Super Bowl because you don't want the risk of, well, what if it doesn't work? You want the safe. And if you want safe, that means you want to be relevant. And I think that's where a lot of Lions fans are right now.
Okay, Kenny. Actually, Kenny is screening calls and I apologize. Or now Kenny is going to talk. Okay. Kenny, what choice A, choice B, and do you think I've accurately described the two camps in Lion fandom right now?
I think you've accurately described the camps as far as which one I'm in. And I don't know if Rico's going to believe me when I say this because he's looping a lot of Lions fans into one camp. And I think he's right about that, actually. I think a lot of Lions fans do want to be relevant for as long as humanly possible. Yeah. Keep this window open.
And that's not a bad thing because you've been a joke and people made fun of you. You were 0-16.
People told you you would never be this.
Right.
But so no, I view it that if Brad is so special, you can go all in, retool it, go all in again. You know how I know it? We've watched it in Philadelphia to the tune of three Super Bowls. Howie Roseman has gone all in, rebuilt it, all in again, won it.
And that's exactly the point that I was going to make, Mike, is that if you actually believe so much in Brad Holmes, then you can go all in and then you can start from the ground up again and do it all over. If he's that unicorn of a GM, if you think he's that good, I mean, I get the trust the process people in the process, but I'd rather make A-plus moves than B-minus moves.
So that's the question. And again, I think...
But see, Kenny, hold on. But I'm sorry, Mike, but it's not B-minus moves, Kenny. It's B-plus moves.
Okay, fine. I'd still rather make A-plus moves than potentially
win a Super Bowl. Right, it's not A moves, but it's B-plus moves, and B-plus is good. B-plus gets you 11, 12, 13 wins a season. You're in the playoffs every year. Maybe you win a couple games.
You know what it is? As I felt what it felt like to be in that NFC title game. I felt that, and I wanted more, and I still want more. That's where my headspace is at. Roberts.
But yeah, you're right. Certain organizations, I mean, case in point, I'm watching the Niners retooling on the fly. Maybe bad for a couple years.
Right. You went all in. Yeah. You made two Super Bowls. You should have made a third.
Right.
You can't ask for more. There are no, I love when people go, well, you can't guarantee it. There are no guarantees. You can't guarantee you wake up tomorrow morning. You can't guarantee you don't die in a car crash. So why would you make guarantees on winning a Super Bowl? You can't.
Say that to the people in the back. Well, if you make this move, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to. And that tells me you're not ready to sit at that table. And if you're still worried about, well, what if this doesn't happen? That's still that so old way
camp,
of thinking.
What camp are you in as you listen to it on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon? Are you in camp A? You stick to the plan. We don't need the FDM picks and go all in. And I want to be good for a long time. Or are you choice B? I don't care about being good. I need to be great once. I need to be great once and win it. And therefore, I'm going to follow the model that you do everything you can do, which the Lions candidly are not doing. That's not a shot. Oftentimes, you don't do everything you can do because it can be injurious. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that they haven't. They have a plan in place. Brad has talked about we have future contract obligations. We have a plan. They're not going all in. I want to know where you're at. 248-539-9797. Hey, Kenny, you know where Campy's at? Home.
Hey.
Just hey. Hate to see it.
You know what, Kenny? It went to overtime.
Yeah? Yeah?
They didn't.
That was coaching malpractice from what I've heard.
What? Mistakes were made.
What?
Is your school.
This was the opposite of the Tom Emanski baseball video that gets results.
Mistakes were made.
And you just.
I did hate to see it.
I hated to see it. I was rooting for them.
All righty. Good for you.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.